So am I even still a co-host, or have I been replaced over the last couple weeks?
I miss you so much. I want to give you hugs.
Your songs, your intro songs, they're better than mine. Terrible. Everything. The rhymes. Marisa kicked my butt on that rhyme.
Terrible. I miss your mug. I miss that little face of yours. You're looking tan.
Yeah. And then do I look like my hair grew at all? No.
I don't know about maybe a little bit. Okay. Yeah.
Did you know that 1 in every 6 phones has poo on it?
Okay. I didn't know that. No.
So out of the 4, like there's me, you, and we have 2 guests on tonight.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the odds are in our favor that 1 of the 4 of us has poo on our phones, I think.
Probably. Yeah.
It's crazy. I wonder where it's at. I wonder which one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. You want to... This is episode number 74, Grace.
Yeah, it is.
I have a fun fact for you. It's not about poo.
Oh, my gosh. Another one? All right.
Did you know the word almost is the longest word in English with all the letters in alphabetical order?
Oh.
Think about that.
I am.
Why are you not excited about these things? I researched this stuff to excite you, and you sit there like this is the dumbest thing you heard all day. Almost. It's a big word in alphabetical order.
I just don't know how it benefits me, but you never know. One day I'm going to be in a trivia situation and I am going to be so happy you told me this.
I don't know if you're going to be happy. I feel like we're growing apart or something.
I think you just got to try harder.
All right, fine. I'll try harder, but trust me, I'm trying pretty hard. I spent 8 hours of my workday today trying to find those facts for you, but I guess whatever. All right. You want to start the episode?
Maybe try less. Try less, Eric. All right.
I will. All right. Ready, Grace?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. I'm going to do this right, the way it's meant to have been done. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Grace, we have on 2 athletes tonight running Eastern States 100. Mm-hmm. For one, it's her first 100. For the other, it's to settle the score. Let's talk all about it on episode 74.
I'm Eric Idiot Renner Kosek.
And I'm Grace Hot Pants Langheim. Eric is all business in the front of the pack, and I am all about the party in the back.
That's right, business up front and party in the back. Together, we are the Running Mullet.
And we are going to talk about every aspect of running, the podium to the DNF and everything in between.
If you are a runner, this show is for you. Now sit back, get out your foam roller, and enjoy the party.
Ooh, I'm bringing the manliness back to this show. You had on all the females the past couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy. Good females. Yep. Good females. Yep. Women, yep. If you will.
Yep. Yep. We had a lot of fun, but I'm happy to be back. This feels very comfortable. I like this.
I'm sorry for that mess up the past couple weeks. Just life, you know?
Yeah, it happens. I'm not worried about it. I'm just excited to be back. I'm excited to be talking about Eastern States, which is coming up soon. This is it. This is the out of the Triple Crown. This is number 3.
Yeah. We're less than 2 weeks out. Next week, one would have assumed that the Running Mullet was going to be talking about Eastern States 100 the following Saturday. But, you know, we're premature. So I like to, you know, get it out there 2 weeks early.
We can
do a show next week about
it. Just whip it out and get started.
Premature, yeah. And this is Eastern States is like our Christmas in August for us PA folks that like to run trails and stupid long distance and watch people suffer and die and stuff like that.
I love it. I can't wait.
Yeah. So, I mean, what are we going to do tonight? So tonight we have on 2 different athletes that are running Eastern States 100 this year.
Mm-hmm.
Kara Hahn, who this is her first 100. And she's having a phenomenal year. And Anthony Arthur, who is this is his second attempt at Eastern States. He stopped at Tomb Flats last year, mile 60. Let's just call it 60-ish, 61-ish. I don't even know what the official mileage is Tomb Flats. Do you? because Slight Run was 62, I think, or 63, and we're like a mile or two short from that.
Yeah, I don't know. I only made it to 47. After that, you know, it was nap time for me. So I don't know.
Nice.
Yeah.
Anyway, tonight's all about talking about the race and game plans, and hopefully some people that are running the race tune in or ask questions maybe that they have if they're first timers or second or third timers, and give tips and tricks and hints for all, to make the race super easy. It's really not that hard of a race, Grace.
Yeah, I don't know why I couldn't pull it off. It's must have been laziness or something, right?
No, kidding. Very, very hard race. So with that being said, should we bring them in?
Yeah, let's bring them in.
I feel like I had other stuff to talk to you about before we brought them in. Oh, Kara, this is a warning for everybody listening right now. Kara Han, the female that I'm about to bring on, she is extremely weird. And so I need everybody to know that. And I'm not just saying that. That's self-proclaimed. So I will be clear on that, because I'm not trying to be mean, but I want to make sure everybody realizes if this show is a little off, it's her. It's definitely her fault. And I think she's okay with it. So there's Kara and there's Anthony.
True.
But she's in this like fancy podcast studio that Grace and I should have, because we should be professional like that. But I'm in my dining room, Grace. I don't know where you're in your study or something.
Yeah, this is my office.
Nice. I don't have an office. Mm-hmm. Anthony, welcome to the show. Kara, thank you for joining us tonight.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. I think.
No offense. Yeah, wait till the end to decide whether this is a good decision or not.
So, like I said, this is Anthony's second attempt. He lives in Virginia. He lives along the coast in Virginia, so he doesn't have access to very much vert at all. And we were just talking about this before the show. Last year, he went into Eastern States, and you can take over whenever you want, Anthony. He went in last year from January 1st to Eastern States. He had a total of, what did you say, 20,000 feet of gain?
Yeah, just over 20,000 feet. There was some probably treadmill, stair climber stuff that I don't get to, you know, track, but not nearly enough. And then rolling into this year, I just checked and I'm up over 100,000, somewhere around like 106, I think, which is, you know, five times as great. So I feel five times as strong.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, last year you stopped at Toom Flats just because, mainly for, felt like knee fatigue, right? I mean, your knees were starting to yell at you, basically, weren't they?
Yeah, I attribute pretty much how I felt at Toom Flats 100% to the lack of elevation training. The bad weather definitely didn't help, slipping and sliding down some of those steep climbs and descents. Coming out of Heiner, I think, is about when the rain started for me. And that mud was just so thick. I was already in the back of the pack, and it was like every step into, you know, what felt like 6 to 10 inches of mud. And you don't know if like you're going to drop 1 inch in the mud and hit a rock, or you're just going to drop 10 inches down and just slide. And my knees weren't strong enough from not doing, enough elevation training. Mm-hmm. And I was just concerned of like actually hurting myself. Mm-hmm. So I think I made the right decision. And that's kind of like my mindset of the day. And then you fast forward like a couple more months and it's like, could I have kept going? Could I have, made it? And I think I can still sleep at night knowing that I dropped there. If it was a dry year, I think I'd be kicking myself a little more for not going forward.
Yeah. Now, and we talk about this all the time. I mean, elevation training, vert training, it's not just about going uphill, but it's also about going downhill. And that's really engaging those quads. And that is why I pulled myself from Eastern States as well. My knees were mad at me for going a little too hard on the descents. I was really hammering my downhills, and it's dangerous when you pass too many people on downhills. And my knees were like, yeah, you're done. You're done. So yeah. I think there's a few lessons in there, not just when you're doing vert training, also practicing the downhills. So if you don't have elevation nearby, you got to find a way to get some descending, or at least to engage your quads. And also in the race, be careful on the downhills too. But you did what you could. And how long have you been running?
So, I mean, I was like a high school runner, but that was ages mm-hmm. ago. I would say that my running started up again in like 2014. I did the Air Force Marathon that year. And that when I finished, I said, that was it. Box mm-hmm. checked. I'm good. And as we all know, it kind of like evolves, and you have your milestones in your running career, how, you know, everything kind of evolves, and that changed from marathons to triathlons to obstacle mm-hmm. course racing to, and then what the really like pivotal point, I think, into like trail running was, I did the Killington Ultra, for Spartan, which was 30 some miles with 16,000 feet of gain.
Aru.
And, I got my feet x-rayed 6 days later because I thought they were broken. But that kind of like opened my eyes to like, oh wow, there's like some cool, you know, long distance, really hard races out there to try. And here we are a couple years later.
Yeah. Fabulous. Yeah. So you're still kind of new into it. I feel like it takes a good while to really get a feel for nutrition and how your body is going to respond. And then like, as soon as you figure everything out, then you're 10 years older and then all of your hormones change. So
I definitely feel very new to trail running. The nutrition piece, I think the triathlon stuff really helps, and learning how to like, kind of like, how many calories, how many carbs, how much sodium? Like I had all that stuff dialed in from those days. But the trail running, learning how to like, you got to build like ankle stability and foot stability. It's not like one for one, you know, road miles don't count as trail miles. Mm-hmm. I'm learning. I'm getting there. We'll see how I do in 2 weeks.
Yeah,
I do want to point out real quick, both Kara and him are both doing the Triple Crown too. So it's not
just
a culmination leading up to it, and they're both killing it. So,
yeah,
Kara, you weirdo, you ready to talk?
I guess so.
I think a lot of people listening probably know Kara. Kind of follow what she's been getting very, very strong over the past year and a half.
Yeah.
And one thing that stands out to me is she does more cross training than probably any other athlete that I'm aware of, you know, as far as the time put in to running versus the time cross training. And she does specifically a lot of CrossFit type thing, like workouts. And Kara, that's what, I mean, I don't know how much you have to talk about that side of it, but that's, I think there's probably quite a few people that want to hear, you know, how you make it all work, because you do still put in heavy miles, the miles needed, in my opinion, for Eastern States or something like it. And you still do the strength training, and you're very dedicated to it. So how do you fit it all in?
So in the winter, I do strength train a lot harder with things like front squats, back squats, deadlifts, and then clean and jerks and like snatches. And then I also do CrossFit classes. And just a shout out, Lumber Capital, the classes are very well put together and challenging. So participating in them are very helpful, just as far as building and testing a lot of different stimuli. This year, I really wanted to work on ramping up intensity instead of starting out really hard.
Mm-hmm.
So CrossFit gave me that opportunity kind of in a more safe place to be like, okay, I'm going to start out slow and then ramp up my speed and intensity. So I was lifting heavy and really going to the wall with my workouts. And I decided this year that I was still going to try to hit lifting PRs as best I could, do mm-hmm. CrossFit classes as hard as I could, do my running training as hard as I could until my body just told me too much. And I would just listen to my body when that point came. So then I'd back off the classes, not the number of them, but the intensity. Right. And then just kind of slowly fade more into the running,
yeah.
And do less intensity in classes, and then slowly start to pull back on the amount of like weight I was using to lift. Also part of my ego, because I was PRing a lot of my lifts, so I was having fun with that.
Yeah.
But I really think that lifting helped keep me injury free for so long. Mm-hmm. And even though like, weight wise, it put me in a heavier bracket, but I was still able to just pull myself up hills so much easier and mm-hmm. down and just have that, I guess, confidence in my legs to not give out on me. So then I was just slowly phase out the CrossFit classes to where now I'm just running. I'm mm-hmm. doing very basic accessory and my physical therapy stuff. But yeah, so that's pretty much it. So I plan to phase out the classes by this time anyway. What mm-hmm. I do on a daily basis is probably very boring to everyone. Just lots of little stuff to work on my ankle strength, my balance,
mm-hmm.
And physical training, 2 to 3 physical therapy, 2 to 3 times a week to help with my hip and my ankle, and that's about it. So
yeah, I want to put like underlines and exclamation points over everything that you said, because that strength training is just so important for everybody, like at every age, at every point in your training cycle. You know, if you're in a heavy run section, you know, still putting a little bit of it in there, you're just backing off on the weight. And then mm-hmm. When you're far away from a race, increasing the intensity and lowering the running, finding that balance between the two, and you're listening to your body instead of saying like, oh, but I'm gonna tough it out. No matter what's on my schedule, I'm always gonna force myself to do it. Even, you know, I just cringe when I hear that kind of stuff. Like, no, I'm tough. I'm going to tough it. Like, no, that's not tough. Listen
yeah.
to your body. Listen to your body.
I knew when my body would tell me that it was all too much. I yeah. knew the exact week it happened. And I was like, it's time to just mm-hmm. shelve some things. And I would do, that was pretty much it. So my schedule, I have a lot of doctor's appointments in the week. So my CrossFit class was at 9. I would work from 10 until the afternoon, do my run after work, mm-hmm. pretty much get it in whenever I could. And then that was it.
Yeah. And I mean, anybody that's seen you running over the past year, you're like a machine, and it, you know, that's all from everything you're talking about too. You just, you know, you're running strong, and mm-hmm. just consistent. So, and it's funny because you say, oh, all you're doing now are the silly, boring little things. But those silly, boring little things are like the most important ones out of everything you said.
Yeah, it is.
A great training cycle just has, it has a lot of boring stuff in there. It really does. Just
sometimes standing on one foot for like a minute, that's it. I mean, nothing like no magical pill, just.
Yeah. Even the strength training you were talking about, you know, when you're in a heavy cycle for strength training, it's deadlifts and squats and, you know, it's some cleans in there. And those classic moves are just, they're really, really good for everybody. Yeah. Like I said, doesn't matter what your age is, doesn't matter what your gender is, just some good old squats, some good old good mornings. And
yes, good mornings are good.
So the beauty of these two athletes, that we have 250-ish athletes that are going to be towing the start line in 2 weeks for Eastern States. Some of them are going to be pooing their pants right beforehand during the race. Some of them are scared shitless. Some of them probably are overconfident. But both of these, Kara and Anthony, and I think they'll agree that they're confidence level should be through the roof as far as toeing the line and where they're at physically and mentally right now. Again, Anthony's, you know, he dropped last year. So that's, I'm sure that's a little more motivation to not, you know, he's going to get to Toom Flats and not even think about that thought this year and be a totally different runner just because his training is better. But Kara's the same way. I mean, Heiner and World's End, I believe you guys would agree that, I mean, you should be happy with those first two races of the season, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I think we ran pretty close to each other. Heiner, I know we were close. So then I rolled my ankle in front of you. You checked on me. Thank you.
Pushed you over. And then I
Oh, yeah. She pushed me. That's right. She kicked me to get like one more rank.
But I think we were 2 minutes from each other in World's End.
Yeah, it was close again. It took me, and I remember passing you or catching up to you after SOB at Heiner. And I was like, it's taken me this long from mile 14 to now to catch you.
Yeah, I rode the red line on that race. And I just.
I want to point out real quick, she just won. She was the first female at the idiot race, the 9 hour race 2 weeks ago, and she negative split that race. So with 9 hours, she, you know, purposefully negative split it. I never actually looked at your paces or, you know, different times.
So I'm not 100% sure how my Garmin watch works yet. And I thought I was hitting the lap button for each loop and it felt like I was negative splitting.
Yeah. Good enough.
Which was really good training for leading up to the Eastern States a few weeks later.
Yeah. That's good vert.
Yeah. So anyway, what I'm getting at is they feel prepared. Their confidence level is high. Now let's get to what your race strategy is going to be come race day. Do you have a strategy? I know Anthony said you're going to run with another fellow runner we both know for a little bit. Kara, you going to negative split Eastern States?
It actually might happen for a little bit.
It could.
Because I'm definitely taking the first 26 miles conservative. I decided. I practiced that section like 4 times.
Yeah,
because it is the hardest to me.
To Brown's Run.
Yes. Okay. And I practice just a lot.
Stop right there. Like it's you 100% should. It's a very good decision. Anybody listening, I'm going to throw the same thing at them. Go slower in the first 28, 29 miles than you feel like you should be going, and it will pay in dividends later on in the race.
Yep.
It's going to happen, but it's so hard because everybody's fired up for that first climb and the race itself, it's so hard to chill out, but you should be walking stuff that mm-hmm. you're telling yourself, I can't believe I'm walking this. It's so, why am I mm-hmm. walking? Can be running. Nope. Keep walking for that first 28.
Yep. And yep. I can't afford to fall in that. Like, so, right. And then after like Browns to Heiner, when I ran that, I thought it was just so nice. So
mm-hmm. I'm
just going to try to plan to pick up my poles that I can't get apart still at Heiner. and I've actually been really liking those. So plan to use those. My biggest struggle will be the nighttime. Because I don't run at night a lot, but it is what it is at this point. So, oh well.
Now, do you have crew or pacers or both?
I have 4 pacers. Mm-hmm. Not technically any crew, mm-hmm. But I have a pacer for each section that you can have one.
Okay, great.
Yeah, and then maybe at the end, if I feel like it, just YOLO. Just
yeah, that's right.
Just run, pretend like I'm not alive.
That's right.
Yeah, legs. You only live once. That might be my last time living if I sprint. So.
Detach your legs from your brain, and then you're fine. No big deal.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that's a good strategy. And again, for anybody listening, that very beginning, and if you are in the back of the pack, you can get a little bit into a little bit of a conga line in the beginning, that first climb, especially, and just like hang back and go for it. Like just chill into the conga line. Don't get stressed about it, because really hanging back in that first section is going to be your much better bet. Don't stress about time, because there are, believe it or not, you do that the first, 17 miles and you think like, oh my gosh, I'm not going to be able to run at all. How am I going to make it through this race? But there are some runnable sections later on. And it's not all going to be that technical. It is just really incredibly technical in the beginning, and there's a little bit of a conga line, but definitely don't let it get into your head. Just simmer into it, make a new friend, and you'll do some running later on,
I mean, the road section at the beginning, you can drop some low sixes, high fives to get in front of the line for the first mile.
Well, and that's why I said, if you're in the back of the pack, as my advice. So maybe not necessarily for you two here, but for anybody listening, if you are in the back, you might get stuck in a conga line if you decide not to run a 5-minute mile.
So last year at the start, Eric had told me the same thing. He said, hey, just chill out on the first 50K. Save your legs.
Yeah.
And so I did. I was probably back of the middle of the pack and got mm-hmm. to that conga line, and it was dead stop. I mean, for anyone that hasn't been there yet, I mean, you're looking at 50 some people waiting in a line just to take their first step on the trail. So if you care about your placement in that conga line, then do those fives, or maybe just like a normal, like 9 minute.
Miles. What I'm getting at is you can still be in the front, towards the front of the conga line, and not be going out too fast for you on the place. So it is smart to maybe use that road to find where you want to be towards the middle or ish.
It definitely depends on the person. I know Neil Barnaba, he had years ago, he did Eastern States, and he said he went out way too fast in the beginning. And then back in 2019, I think it was, he ran with me for the first 3-4 miles just to slow himself down. And then he took off after that. And I saw him afterwards. He's like, yeah, that was a really good decision. He was happy that he did that. And he did get stuck in the conga line. But again, it's 100 miles. You have plenty of time. if you're in the back of the pack. If you're in the front of the pack, you might want to make a different decision there. So it's, you know, that this race and all these races, when it comes to ultras, there's so much strategy involved. And I think that's why I love it. I love it.
I'm always a fan, and I'm I used to be in the front of the pack, but I've always been a fan of, it's a lot easier to let people pass you than to try to get past them. So what I'm saying is I'm that guy that probably goes out too fast. And if somebody wants to pass me, I'll move over and let them pass, but I'd much rather do that than be in a conga line. And that first climb.
If I could run a 5-minute mile ever, even on a track, I definitely would. But that these legs are never going to do that. It's not going to happen. So I'm just going to keep giving advice to the back of the pack. I was trying to gently say that we can't do 5-minute miles.
But no, I know. I can't either. But you can use that road to get towards the front. These two guys are going to want to be, Anthony especially, you're going to want to be up front more than you were last year by the sounds of it, in my opinion.
Probably. But the first 50K, I definitely want to be conservative, like we've been saying here. But based on kind of my goals, I don't want to waste time waiting in the conga line. I want to be in a decent position right at the gate and just kind of, and then take it easy in there, because once you're in that line, like there's not that much passing going on, you know.
That's what I'm saying. Get towards the front.
5-10 minutes at the.
Yeah.
Get towards the front and then run your pace, and then if people are passing you, so let them go. That's not a problem, but at least you're not slowed down by that long of a line. I did look at the weather. I was that guy who looked at the weather for 2 weeks.
I looked at the weather like a week ago on AccuWeather.
If it stays anywhere near what it's saying, you guys, it's going to be like cheating, because it was like high of 75 and in the 50s to start. Yeah. Well, I mean, come on. Let's face it. It's going to change. It's probably going to be hell, but.
There'll probably be some rain.
I was out there all this past weekend. It was beautiful this past weekend, and I was thinking, if it's like this race day, it couldn't get any better.
So, tell everybody, how many snacks did you see? How many nope ropes?
I saw one, and I'm going to share a little tidbit for one of the viewers and one of your previous guests. He taught me this past weekend. Cliff Sullivan did some 30-plus miles with him this weekend. And never really got to hang out with Cliff. He's an awesome guy, and I can't wait to run with him at Eastern States. But he taught me that when you're running in threes, the worst place to be is the third person, because the first person wakes the snake up, the second person pisses the snake off, and the third person gets bit. And he told us this when I was running in the third position. And I was like, hey, let me pass you real quick and get into second position. But anyways, he almost stepped on a nice 4-footer. That was our entertainment. And then yesterday evening, I saw a couple like water snakes, but no rattlers. Yeah.
Do you try to pick them up?
No.
I have picked one up and was like, Tammy, if everyone knows Tammy, I was like, hey, a snake. And she was like, cool.
You are a weirdo.
You should try. It's a fun game.
A rattlesnake?
I don't know what kind of snake.
A rattlesnake or just any snake?
There's no rattle.
Okay. How else are you going to make friends unless you try to get a hug?
That's true.
The other thing, both of these athletes have been on pretty much all of the course one way or another at this point. Obviously, Anthony ran 60 miles last year, but that's what he was doing this past weekend, was covering some other stuff he hadn't seen. Kara's a local. You've pretty much done the whole, been on every section, haven't you, Kara?
Because the only section I did not hit this year was Blackwell, but I have proofed that section quite a few times. So I was really focused on like the first 50 to 60 miles.
Right.
And I did the last 10.
Nice. From Blackwell to the finish, that's where you're playing the game of catch the headlamp in front of you. That's why, because you're going to be faster than everybody because both of you went out easy in the first 28 miles. That literally is runnable and where you catch people on their deathbed. Yep. It's amazing. And every person you catch, it's like this shot of adrenaline. I'm telling you, like it gives me goosebumps to even talk about it because that's, in my opinion, that's the best way to race this race. Knowing that once you get to Blackwell, you're going to feel like shit and you're not going to want to go up Gillespie Point, the last 1,000-foot climb. But once you're up there, it's like game on. And you're going hunting. That's what my pacer told me that 2 years ago. And it's like, oh boy. But anyway, I just love that.
So what you're saying is I should turn my headlamp off so people don't hunt me.
I mean, yeah.
I like that. Just
carry a mini flashlight.
Yep, or crawling.
Good logic. Good logic. Yeah.
My coach told me to turn my light up.
Oh, night vision.
Yeah. But now, I mean, I would keep that in mind though. Like you're
okay.
It's not a 100-mile race. It's 82-mile race, or it's not a 103-mile race. It's an 82-mile race. Cause once you get to Blackwell, it's easy and game over. Your job is just to catch people.
Yeah.
But that's just some advice. You might feel like hell and be walking it in from there. That's a good possibility too. What else we got?
The finish was nice, the last 10 up there, except for the Panther run coming down. I could see that being a little painful, so I'm hoping adrenaline takes over at that point.
It will.
Yeah, I fell down on fresh legs, so.
Yeah.
Wait, I have a falling problem, if you didn't notice.
You'll be fine. You'll be fine.
Maybe.
What else do you want to talk about? You guys have, are you willing to share your A goals? If in a perfect world, you'd like to finish in what time? Or is that, would you rather keep that personal?
No, I'll set mine.
Whatever.
20 hours.
Very nice. Very
20?
Nice. 28.
Yeah, 20. 14 hours. 28.
Yeah.
Yeah,
28 to 30.
I'm right there with you, Kara.
I wonder how much time you guys will see, how much time you'll spend together during the day, back and forth. That'll be interesting because you guys are somewhat close in your goals and your training and what you want to do. That's cool.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna shoot for 30 seconds faster than Cliff. So that's
good.
Pretty cool. Mm-hmm.
That's fair enough. If you're doing that, you might as well shoot for 30 seconds faster than Kara, too.
Yeah, we'll add that to the list, too. Yeah.
You can always trip somebody. Unless she
turns out her headlamp.
Yeah.
She turns out her headlamp, I won't be able to find her.
She's going to be cuddling with a snake.
She's somewhere in there. Yeah, and I'm not scared of the dark, so I will try to find my way through there with my hands. Come up to the next runner, be like feeling them from behind, scare them,
creep them out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Cliff, his goals just changed because Anthony called him out. Have some smack talking already starting. I mean, you still got a week and a half left.
Yeah. What else are we going to do for a week and a half?
And then what do you two have coming up next? Kara, you got Triple Crown, you're going to have it finished, and then what?
I'm going to the Dirt Circus.
Fun.
And then I think I'm going to do Black Forest.
Nice.
Which is probably, for some reason, the scariest race to me.
Hmm.
I don't know why. I've been around that trail several times. But and then as far as next year, I'm not sure yet.
Okay, fun.
So Anthony, how about you? Two possible blacklisters then. Because Anthony signed up for Black Force also like an idiot.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. I am. And I've got a few other things that I want to do, just nothing on the schedule. I've got thoughts about trying the 200-mile distance next year, but I am kind of just rolling training from this fall around Blacklist into that. But I kind of feel like I got to check the 100-mile distance first. But my brain doesn't just stop there. Like I feel like I just keep going. And then another one is I really want to get a Boston qualifier. So I'm trying to figure out when I can get a large chunk of speed road training in to to do that. But yeah, nothing on the books besides Black Forest.
Nice. That'll be fun. And this is, I mean, I hate to say this for all of our trail runners out there, but man, speed work on the road and on the track really helps with trail running. So
I do actually really like that. Do I want to throw up every time? Yes. Have I? Yes.
Yes. But it's so good for your training. That speed work.
It's fun.
Yeah.
It complements very, very well. Yeah. Like when you're like, just pushing those speeds on the trail and you're like, well, I've gone faster on the road and my heart rate's not like spiking the way it would if I didn't do the road running. It's a very good complement.
Yeah, it's really playing on both sides of very easy and very, very hard. And so it's a great goal to have in the future.
Before we start checking out, I do want to mention to everybody that we will be live again from Toom Platz and at the finish line at Eastern States.
Woo-hoo!
So those of you that are listening in that are running the race and have family that can't be there, or you're not running the race and you want to be there, or you're not even a runner, but for some reason you found our podcast randomly, we will, the plan is, hopefully the weather allows it, the plan will be going live at Toom Platz for when the majority of runners come through, starting with the first one. Hopefully towards the back of the pack at least.
Yeah.
And then after that aid station closes, going to the finish line, Grace, you're crewing Laura. So you'll be out and about for a while, but that it's similar last year, which I think was a pretty big hit for a lot of people. So that is our plan as of right now.
Yeah. And I, I may as well talk about this now, but next week, during next week's show, I'm going to talk about how I'm going to throw it down because I'm crewing for Laura again.
Oh yeah. Competition. You might want to mention that again right now.
Yep. I've still got the belt from last year for best crew. I am putting the challenge out there right now for any other crews who think they could possibly even come close to my crewing abilities and Laura's crew. All of the people she has on her team, we have shirts and they match and they're awesome. And I have a special hat and I'm bringing back the belt. And so I'm just starting the conversation.
That's a lot. I feel like there's a little bragging going on there. Has any other crew stepped up to accept your challenge yet? Or is it just,
I think they're scared.
So you're going to just keep on going with this attitude, even if no one shows up to try to beat you per se?
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. This is how I roll.
Cool. Should be a fun time.
Yeah. It's going to be a lot of fun. We have fun. We take care of our crews. And again, part of crewing is cheering on other runners, helping other crews when they need a little support, they need a little help. So it is very much a team sport that I am going to win. So
there you go. I wonder if we, for next week's show, the eve of the race, we can get, let's just say, two other crew members that are interested in taking you up on this very mature challenge of yours. to come on and talk about that, to see what their technique's going to be. And, you know, you can obviously continue your trash talking.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody's cool enough for it. I don't know if anybody has the guts.
No. So if you think you have the guts and you're better than Grace, reach out to us, please, because I think we might want to add that to our show next week.
Yeah. Yeah. I just had to throw that in there. I do have new sunglasses for this year. I mean, there has been preparing happening.
I'm proud of you. You're focused on your training and
things. Yeah.
Takes a lot.
This is important stuff. You know, it's important. Color coordination is important. How loud you can be is important.
Okay.
Yeah.
So leading into this weekend, which is the, you know, starting to think about our little taper going on here and things like that. What's your guys' plan this weekend? Kara?
Well, I'm going to do my hour run. What?
I said it doesn't have to be like your plan for running. It's just like, hey, what you doing this weekend, weirdo?
I'm going to visit my brother and his girlfriend with my parents in Lancaster.
Nice.
And then running the last 10 miles of the course with my pacer on Sunday.
Fabulous.
Who's your pacer right at that point?
Alex Butler.
Awesome.
Yes.
Awesome. That's a good one. Anthony, what you got going on? You're in a hotel room right now this week. You're going to run some more trails, right?
Possibly. I think in the past week, I've done 70 miles of the Eastern States course. So I think I'm kind of good on that. But I did reach out to John Schaefer because I saw him out mowing while we were running. He was mowing the start to aid station one section.
Nice.
We heard a mower going and it was kind of like a shock. I was like, oh, I know this guy. So I reached out to him recently and said, if you need any help in the evenings, I might go back up one night this week to kind of help clear some trails because there is a lot of work left to do up there.
Lots of metal.
Outside of that, yeah. Good luck on the last 10. Hopefully they mow that for you because that was like Snake Haven. But you'll be all right. You'll hug them.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna train and work, and that's it. Yeah, I'm in State College till Sunday.
Nice. It is worth mentioning how much work goes into putting an event on this big. So if anybody does have any time to get out there and help, reach out to John Schaefer or Jade Oaks or Ben Mazur or me, and I'll get you in touch with any of them if you're lucky enough to have free time during the week or even on a weekend.
Yeah, between the and I'm glad you mentioned trail work because there's a lot of work that happens before the race. So we see all the volunteers at the race from registration to our radio communications, our aid stations, traffic control, and the finish line. You see all of those folks, but there's also a lot of work beforehand and afterwards. So it's pretty cool that there's probably, we would have to ask Ben, but there's probably two or three volunteers for every runner. I'd wager there's.
He put a number out not too long ago that was something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. 2 to 3 volunteers per runner. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. All right, Grace, what are you doing this weekend?
Oh, I'm headed over to Julia's house. I have never done the Yeti 24-hour race. And we're going over to Julia's. We're doing the Yeti 24-hour because I never signed up for it because I was like, I don't do like a whole lot of virtual stuff. But the swag is just really cool. That I registered for it and I got the swag and I was so glad that I did because it came with little Yeti earrings. And like, that's totally worth running five something miles every 4 hours for 24 hours and hanging out with my friend Julia. So I'm pretty, there's like a handful of us that are all doing the Yeti 24 hour together. So that'll be pretty neat.
Awesome.
Yeah. What are you doing this weekend, Eric?
There's a local 10K trail race called Braden's Trail of Strength. Pretty cool little race over towards the canyon, PA Grand Canyon.
Nice.
I think a couple cross-country kids are going to go over. It's a good race for them for a summer race, and I think I'll probably do it.
Nice.
Yeah, other than that, just kind of – this is one free weekend in between a whole lot of weekends on both ends that were not free, so I don't know. Next weekend's Eastern States. After Eastern States, my life calms down a little bit. What about you?
Oh my gosh, not at all. I have the Yeti 24 hour and then Eastern and then Slopeside Summer Party, my race.
Oh yeah.
And then Baker 50 miler. And then I move my daughter in for her last year of college. And then I finally get a break after that, I think.
Nice.
Yeah. It's wild.
Yeah. Now my next thing will be Black Forest, whether run it or help out over there, probably.
Cool. Run it. Run it.
Mm-hmm. You want to race?
Let me see what you do at Eastern States first.
I like that talk.
I wouldn't stand a chance, but I'd hang on as long as I could.
Yeah. You like trip him.
Yeah. That sounds like a date to me. Well, we appreciate you both being on and giving us your time. I do think that there's probably quite a few runners, hopefully, that were on listening to the show. Hopefully we help them a little bit. It's a fun race. I love that it's in my backyard. It's hard, it's demanding, but I don't think it's nearly as hard as what some people make it out to be. That's just me. I don't know.
Yeah. It's a very hard race, Eric, for mere mortals. So anywho, I hope y'all got at least some great entertainment out of this. And it's going to be fun. It's going to be a really fun weekend.
Yeah.
Yep. Ready for a good suffer fest.
Yeah.
We're so ready. You both are. I can't wait.
Yeah. It's going to be good.
So thanks for being on. And we will see both of you in person. At least I will, Friday night before the race. Grace, are you coming up Friday night? Yeah, you are, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So we'll be at the check-in, probably hanging out. Awesome. Becky will be signing autographs, probably.
And giving hugs.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait.
See you next week. We'll figure out what we're going to talk about, but more than likely it's going to be 99.9% Eastern States chatter of one way or another.
Showdown. Right, bring it.
Yeah. We can talk about your Yeti challenge. That's this weekend, right? So you'll be able to talk. Yeah. You can wear your earrings.
Yes.
All right, guys. Thanks again. And make sure you tell them all the stuff they have to do. Tune in, comment. Like, they're not listening.
Oh, yeah. So tune in 7:30 Eastern Mondays on the YouTubes or on the Facebooks. And leave some reviews and comments on Spotify or iTunes, because those help with all of the algorithm monsters out there. And like stuff on YouTube and subscribe on YouTube and put a comment. I do look at the comments afterwards on YouTube, and I will comment back sometimes if it's a cool enough comment. So if you want your comment to be judged, then leave a comment there. But do all of those things and tell all your friends and share. Because if we share, then algorithm monsters don't like it. And if you do, then they like it. And do all that stuff. Okay, thanks. Bye.
See ya. Five stars. Five stars only.
Five stars only.
Five stars only. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye. Bye.